The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the MadTech Podcast, where we dive deep into a topic that's impacting the digital and marketing landscape. My name is Lindsay Rowntree and I am COO of ExchangeWire. And today, as we hurtle towards the end of 2024, we'll be discussing a broad topic that we're all thinking about, from publishers to advertisers and everyone in between. How on earth do we navigate digital advertising's rather complex current and future landscape, especially in this privacy-conscious post-cookie world? There's plenty to delve into here. And joining me to do just that, I'm delighted to welcome Pete Wallace, who is General Manager EMEA at GumGum. Welcome, Pete.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Great to have you and great to be chewing the fat with you about this mammoth topic. Before we kick off, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a bit more about what you do at GumGum?
Sure thing. So look, I've been with GumGum 8 years today, LinkedIn was kindly informing me. So I'm part of the furniture. But look, I run the European business over here. I'm primarily focused on the sales and the operations part of the business. Seen it grow from approximately 7 people when I joined in Europe to around about 180 people across multiple countries today. So it's been a good and long journey. Am I allowed to say long? But an ongoing journey, which I'm very much enjoying. And it's good to have experienced the change of the company, the change of the industry as we've gone through that. And I guess we'll talk a bit about that today.
Absolutely. You have seen many, many things during that time. And one thing I want to kick off with and ask you is, you know, from where you're sitting, what are you seeing as being the big challenges for advertisers in the industry at the moment? Kind of what are the things that you think are getting in their way and keeping them up at night?
The interesting thing that I've noticed is that there's been a number of topics that have been on everybody's agenda for a number of years now. And actually, I think what's keeping people up at night is actually bringing a number of those topics into fruition and actually making them actionable. Of course, we've been talking privacy, compliance, we've been talking addressability for flipping ages now, and that conversation continues. We've talked a lot about measurement and actually what is the most appropriate form of measurement and how do we make what everybody does across this industry more accountable. And then arguably sort of, you know, it's about a lot of conversation around creating an equitable ecosystem. So actually, how do we operate as an industry in a capacity that keeps every component part within that sort of relationship happy, where you've got consumers, you've got advertisers, you've got publishers, you've got the tech layer, you've got agencies. And actually, there needs to be this fundamental interoperability between all of those areas that everybody keeps happy and everybody gets value exchange out of what we do. And I think that conversation has very much been ongoing through a variety of topics.
And what role do you think, you know, the tech layer, including yourselves, what role do you play in helping to create this equitable industry that you speak of?
Yeah, so look, from a GumGum perspective, it's very much about being cognizant of the way in which we are using data. So we've always been privacy first at our heart, and we've been very cognizant again of privacy legislation, but also just understanding of consumers' behavior and wants. In terms of publishers, look, we work very, very closely with publishers. And I think as an industry, it's fundamentally important that we ensure that we promote the application of premium content. And actually, you know, how do we ensure that content is being remunerated in an appropriate fashion to ensure that we continue to proliferate better and better content across the open web? And then look, it's demonstrating value to advertisers. Like if you get to the end of, you know, a campaign, or you get to the end of some activity with somebody, it's right, actually, where did I drive value and what is the outcome? It, like, fundamentally, like, brands advertise to sell more things, whatever that might be. If you can't showcase that, then like, kind of, what are you doing and how do you attribute value to that? So as an industry, again, we need to get better towards this idea of measurement and showcasing value, and that there is value in the investment that brands continue to make in digital.
That's a really good point. And it feels like, you know, advertisers can often feel like they're in between a rock and a hard place sometimes, like with so much going on. And I'm going to obviously bring the cookie into this as well, because that's played a big role in what people are trying to focus on and how they're trying to set themselves up to strategize for the next sort of 5 to 10 years of the industry. And, you know, do I jump first? Do I wait and follow the herd? Do I do what my my partners tell me to do? Do I do what my agency tells me to do? Do I just kind of like just bury my head in the sand and kind of just hope everything will go away? You know, there's a lot of every single I've experienced and witnessed every single reaction to all the different stuff happening in the industry. You know, from a cookie perspective, do you feel like the industry can move on from cookies? Should they move on from cookies, or should they still, you know, retain some kind of aspect of the day-to-day goings-on of the advertising industry? And, you know, with everything that's going on with Google and what Google have done, you know, should that kind of be irrelevant? Because whatever's happening with them, should we be making sure that we are focusing on a world where the cookie isn't the be-all and end-all of everything that we do and how we measure and how we strategize?
Mm-hmm. Cracky, that's a question.
It's a big one. I go for the big stuff.
I think that there was a number of naysayers from early days that sort of suggested that actually Google weren't going to be able to deprecate the cookie. And that so far has obviously been the case for a number of reasons. Everybody, the vast majority of people within the industry were already experimenting with solutions that did not rely on the cookie to drive value. And we're obviously proponents of contextual being at the heart of that from a targeting perspective and to drive value. And I think that sits at the core of a lot of the value, or sort of a lot of the way forward that a lot of brands were thinking about. Now, in terms of the question overall, yes, we can live without the cookie. And I think we're already on a path to living without the cookie. And actually, if you look at the web, it is already vastly non-addressable through cookie-based solutions. Yeah. So, and actually I still live in the belief that no, Google didn't hit the deadlines that they suggested, but I think that the cookie will deprecate at some point in the future, whenever that might be. At the very least, it becomes less and less addressable over a longer period of time. Now, in terms of moving forward, again, we are already on a path as an industry to working towards cookieless solutions. We should continue to work towards that path. Thinking back to this idea of an equitable ecosystem, operating without cookies, particularly towards a consumer, delivers more on the equitable ecosystem. In terms of the way to drive towards those solutions, I think it's a case of testing. Like, yes, I'm a proponent of contextual, and I believe that is a very solid route forward. Contextual can still intertwine with first-party data. It can still intertwine with other solutions that exist across the industry. And actually, you know, again, it's this idea of testing and working out what drives the best possible results. But it's also a thought process of how do you start to make different solutions operate with one another to combine for the greatest solution that might ever exist. And actually, again, this idea of, you know, first party data is great, but actually, can you broaden out your first party data through use of contextual data signals? Or are there other data signals that are in existence that you can start to combine and drive to better and better outcomes for you as a brand? Like, nothing should live in a silo, and you shouldn't just test one solution and go, oh, that's definitely the best thing for me, because it may not be, and, you know, you shouldn't live in naivety.
Do you feel like, obviously you mentioned, you know, you're naturally, as being part of GumGum, a big proponent of contextual, and that's the area you sit in. Do you feel like, because there's been so much reliance on third-party cookie and also on first-party data, and this notion of probabilistic versus deterministic, and I'm hearing those words come back into parlance again, which is fascinating to me, because everybody wanted deterministic and now they're kind of realising they can't have that. They need to look back at what probabilistic looks like again, but obviously not the dodgy parts of it, like fingerprinting and all the things that could have made it look really, really bad. Do you feel like there's still some work needs to be done to make people understand how good contextual can be today versus what it looked like 10 years ago? Do you feel like people are still looking at contextual as what it was 10 years ago, and actually a lot has happened since? Or do you think that actually the understanding is really getting there?
I genuinely think that, broadly speaking, we're in a good place of understanding. There is absolutely a distinct difference between the level of competency of contextual solutions that exist in the market today. Now, it's it's challenging and it's technical to get under the hood of contextual targeting to really appreciate the technology that really drives accuracy and drives value for brands. So there's a lot more that can and should be done by brands and agencies in order to understand what the best possible technology is for them. I think we also can do better as an industry to create validation, verification for different targeting methodologies to showcase what is best in market. Now, we as a business have gone out and done independent studies to validate that, you know, we are accurate, more so than our competitors. And again, for us, we've gained MRC accreditations for content level verification. So, you know, we feel like we've rubber stamped, but I'm also sat here sort of, you know, there needs to be other ways in which brands or technology companies can get verified across the industry to showcase that they are hitting certain thresholds of accuracy. Otherwise, again, it's sort of, you know, you're taking one person's word over another, which is a challenging environment.
That's so true. Do you ever feel like, what do you think is the barrier to adoption of alternatives, targeting alternatives like contextual, for example? Like, you know, I've had conversations with people, they've said, people will say to me, I don't really get enough relevant briefs. And it's like, well, what do you mean it's not a relevant brief? There's so much that can be done with this. Like, is your brief to target somebody? Is your brief to deliver on something, deliver an outcome? This absolutely works. Like, there's more education needed. Obviously, where you sit, you work with advertisers, you work with agencies, and you work with publishers too. How are you finding the adoption of these different types of data points versus the kind of the reliance on the cookie, for example?
Yeah. So, from our perspective, it's a change in the thought process. So, across a number of things. So, one, the way in which audiences have traditionally been defined, it's been very sort of broad age, demographic, and interest or an in-market sort of thought process. And actually that becomes very sort of, pardon the pun, but like cookie cutter type mentality in the way that you think about people and the way that people operate, which isn't in reality the case. Sort of, I'll be very different from a bloke my age who might be sat next to me on the train on the way into town. Like, again, we are very unique and we're individual in the way in which we operate. In terms of sort of barriers to entry, again, it's that thought process of actually what is relevant to an audience. We kind of need to change that thinking, and we need to change the way in which the perception of contextual happens. It's very easy to go, right, I'm a travel advertiser, I'm only going to advertise in travel content, or so on and so forth. So we create this sort of very binary association of advertiser, brand, and content. Whereas in reality, we might find that there is a vast plethora of content that drives resonance between a brand and consumer in order to deliver a match that might not seem like an obvious association to that brand. So where we're at as a business is, firstly, we're looking at sort of, you know, direct correlation across the open web between a brand and what content they're being talked around. And then we can start to build out further contextual targeting strategies based on co-occurrences, based on sort of where we see multiple categorizations of pages, based on testing. Like, the ability for AI, for systems to test across the web and find value and find performance, it's far superior than somebody sat there going, well, I think it should be these 20 different contexts. So there's also a notion of let the tech do its thing and let it find what the most appropriate context is for you as a brand that's going to drive the best performance and the best outcome. And there's sometimes a little bit of hesitation, or there needs to be a bit of a leap of faith still to go, actually, do you know what? Like, I'm going to remove some of my internal biases.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go, yes, go out and find where the best possible performance can be found across the web.
And so it is the kind of, you know, to not to bucket the what you're referring to as black box, but it is the kind of the black box concern that makes people go, I don't want to just push the button and just let it do its thing, because I want to be able to feel like I've got some control over it. Do you feel like that is getting better, or are things like, you know, because there are some black box solutions, I hate to name and shame, but Google's PMax is an obvious example here, that make people kind of enter into that world again. Do you think that they are kind of helping or hindering, you know, the use of being able to go, listen, let the tech do its thing?
Look, I mean, certainly that becomes a hindrance. And really what this comes down to is how much you're willing to sort of open up that box and be like, look, this is how it's operating. This is what we're doing, and this is how we're driving towards performance. And then when you get to the end of that, actually, let's showcase all the data. I'll show you exactly where everything has been delivered. I'll tell you exactly how everything has been categorized. And I'll give you as many data points as you want to see across this. But just showcase that value has been driven. And I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm trying to do everything in the best interests of the brand that I'm operating with.
It's interesting. And I'm intrigued kind of, you know, how you see the role of these new types of targeting evolving. And are you changing? Do you think there's a shift in terminology? Like, you know, people were talking about precision targeting. Is precision targeting still a thing? Is that still something that I can set a campaign on? Or do I have to kind of change the way that I think about how I am getting the desired outcome of my campaign?
So I certainly sort of when I was back in my agency days, some many moons ago. we talked a lot about precision targeting and a lot about sort of one-to-one messaging. We're still precision, but it's a different way of thinking in and around that idea of precision. Yes, I'm still thinking about the individual and the nuances of that individual, but the way in which I'm using data assets attached or data points attached to that individual changes. And again, I'll keep on harking back to this. It's thinking about equitability. Yeah. And actually, you know, showcasing that I'm not utilizing personal data in the way that we would have talked about precision-based targeting in the past. Now, the shift for us here at GumGum is to talk about mindset and actually think about how we're identifying mindset based on the content that the user is consuming at that very moment in time. And again, to this point around context and not looking towards this sort of binary relationship between advertiser content and consumer. Actually, it's this idea of sort of we might find that mindset for, I don't know, a brand like Nike is found in food content for whatever reason. And we're trying to identify the moment where that resonance is created, and we can create that match because the consumer is in their appropriate mindset for them to be receptive to a particular message from a brand. And sort of without digressing too far, for us, it's then sort of it's understanding that through things like attention data signals and working out actually sort of what did drive a positive association, a positive match between brand and consumer based on attention data signals, and looking at the context that was aligned with those with that increase in attention.
And I want to highlight a particular challenge that, you know, we've talked about a lot on the MadTech podcast, and listeners will be used to hearing this, which is in particular the challenge that publishers have with the continued use of block lists, suppression lists, whatever you want to call them, and how it's impacting how, you know, they are getting revenue and how they're able to diversify their revenue and how advertisers are able to make the most of working with publishers. The argument here, as far as I could see it, is that kind of looking at different types of data points and looking at contextual data would help with that massively and help them remove their reliance on these suppression lists, these block lists, and actually help them be able to understand how they can, you know, you just mentioned the example of, you know, Nike looking at a food audience is having some kind of synergy there. How can contextual and how can these different data points that aren't cookie-based, that aren't first-party data-based, help that aren't identity-based, help them be able to feel comfortable and confident in how they're targeting and how they are kind of working with publishers without feeling the need to kind of use keywords as a way of blocking what can and should and shouldn't be seen?
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good question. I'd just be clear, sort of I advocate for, you know, block lists to an extent. Sort of, you know, I don't want to promote MFA content. And sort of, you know, again, it's this idea of sort of let's see how we promote sort of premium, well-written content across the open web. And we very, very much advocate for that. In terms of opening out of content and ensuring that sort of there's, again, we're driving value to publishers appropriately, good contextual shouldn't overblock. and good contextual thinking and strategy should open up more avenues for brands to explore and target against. So one, it's more supply, which is open to advertisers because we're not looking at individual keywords that you block against. And actually it's creating this test and learn scenario of identifying a multitude of contextual strategies that are going to drive performance. So yes, contextual should, if it is done well, drive more value for publishers, but also should give more levers to for advertisers to optimize towards in order to drive better performance.
And it ties in with the comment you were making earlier about how all these different aspects of targeting can be interoperable to create this kind of wonderful, I can use context in this context, I can use first-party data, I can use third-party data. You know, is there a way of how, what's your role in helping kind of overcome the challenge of integration of all these different data points and alternative targeting methods to be able to allow advertisers to deliver this cohesive omnichannel approach that they all seem to be striving for?
Look, the thing for me is very much against this idea of interconnectivity and interoperability is super important. The things that I often talk about that I think have been the hot topics in the last number of years, stop me if I'm digressing too far.
No, carry on.
It's been contextual, attention, sustainability. It's been a variety of different topics, and they've all lived in these individual little buckets that have operated across the industry. And we've all thought they're important, but actually they've been sat in such a silo that many of them haven't been able to rise to the top in order to really be fully integrated into a lot of brands' mentality and thinking and activity. My drive across this industry is actually how we can use multiple different data points together in order to drive value. And sort of the example that I give, which is very close to our heart here at GumGum, is contextual, attention, and creative. We use contextual targeting, and it sits at the heart of our business. We use attention and we use rich media creative. Now, as we've seen, like, attention's been such a hot topic for a number of years. And if you go across most advertisers before this year, they would have told you that they very, very much struggled to raise the bar and really integrate attention into what they do across the whole of their business. Now, I think that the reason for that is because it's been operating in a silo. Now, if I'm able to then work and go, right, context is going to inform attention and attention is going to inform context. And then same with creative. I create this interoperable system where actually everything is really connected to one another, optimizing in real time and driving better outcomes. I think the same can be said of so many component parts of the industry that you go, right, actually my first party data and my contextual strategy doesn't sit in silo with one another. They're informing to one another. And actually I create a system in which, you know, I integrate them. Like, why do we keep on as an industry going, first party data is really important, this data is important, this data is important. But so many businesses struggle to actually create a foundation where they live in together with one another, which is such a miss. And that really needs to change. And I think that, again, for me, it's championing what we have a business and the fact that it works. All of our components of our business sit together and drive to better value is where we really fit into the mix of what you talked about.
It's really interesting, actually. You raised an excellent point there. Do you think that there are certain hot topics that maybe are getting too much love or others that aren't getting enough attention and love because of the fact they sit in this silo? And actually, if they were brought into the mix more, people would understand how interoperable they could be and be able to really leverage them.
Yeah, I 100% believe that. And look, some topics which are important, like, this sounds terrible, but like, sometimes they just feel hard, right? And actually, some stuff takes a lot of TLC, a lot of attention in order to really come to fruition. And you've got to be really vested into certain areas in order to get the most out of them. And the interoperability of technology is a challenging area. Attention is a challenging area to surface because you need to look at a lot of the data that sits behind that to understand value. Like, you know, we need to, in many ways, simplify, but yes, we need to also start seeing how we collaborate and how we aggregate a lot of what we do across the industry to drive better value, more understanding, and better outcomes.
Absolutely. And so I'm interested, Pete, in what excites you. Like, what are you seeing that is like, yeah, this actually is going to be really interesting for us. It's going to be a kind of an industry defining moment. You know, there were certain, you mentioned some of the big topics out there, you know, attention, sustainability, curation. There's a lot of different things that are grabbing everyone's attention at the moment. I don't want to keep saying the word attention, but you know what I mean. Are there some that you kind of, you think this is actually going to be really, really big for the industry, and others that you think, okay, we need to measure how it's going to be and not just jump on the bandwagon? And what do you think is exciting for everybody across the industry that they should be kind of really, really focusing on? I feel like I've put you on the spot there now.
You have, rather. And it's good, but the thing, so funnily enough, I think I chatted to you guys a number of years ago now, in fact, and sort of it was very much early doors of attention, and sort of I was there, and sort of, you know, at that time, early attention was like a little bubble, and then sort of really created a lot of noise. And I was really, really bullish on the space, and I still am today. I think the reason why I hesitate in my answer is, like, the stuff that I think is exciting is actually the stuff that we've been talking about for the last 2 to 3 years that's finally going to get, like, fulfillment, like, it's going to reach fruition. Because attention still hasn't, sustainability still hasn't, curriculous targeting solutions still haven't, overall measurement still hasn't reached its sort of, you know, place where we're all happy. Now, maybe there's some value in that, because it still means that we're all striving for better solutions, and we're all trying to make stuff as good as it can be. Finally feel like we're in a place where all of the hype that kicks off as soon as, like, a new topic comes in, like, attention kicked in, and everybody's like, oh my god, this is going to be the best new thing, it's going to be incredible. And it can be, but it just needs to come with an understanding, and it needs to come with a level of scrutiny, so that people understand that they're getting the best out of it, and people need to understand why they're applying it to their business. So, look, for me, I'm excited about measurement coming to the forefront, and us finally being able to understand the value that media is driving for advertisers. I'm excited for us to work towards being a more sustainable ecosystem. Like, you know, we should, and we need to do that as an industry. But look, it was a hot topic, which arguably, you know, is dampened down in terms of noise, and now we need to get back up again. And I think it's super important. It needs to sit within every business's thought process of how they're working within the supply chain. So look, it's the stuff that we've been banging on for the last 3 years finally coming good that I'm actually really flipping excited about. I'm a bit like, it's about time, and like, I sound a bit boring because I've been chatting about this stuff for a while, but like, it's finally coming good. And look, we're excited, obviously, about what we're doing here internally here at GumGum and what we're building towards, and it very much aligns with that type of thinking, which for me makes me, again, really excited.
I think you've nailed it there, though. Do you actually feel that all these big, big kind of like hype topics that everyone was talking about, and then they talk about them, then they die down a bit, but actually they just become, is the exciting bit that they just become a fundamental part of me running a campaign and me running a business and me trying to achieve the outcome for my clients and my advertisers? Is it more that actually the exciting thing is that things are just running and things are working as they should be, and there's a collective understanding that we're all trying to achieve the same goal, and we're finally getting to a place where that's actually feels more achievable?
Yeah, look, 100%. And I feel like as an industry, like, we should know better by now.
Yeah. We often don't, though.
No, yeah, quite. is all, like, the hot topics come in, and there continues to still be this expectation that, like, we're going to nail that hot topic in 6 to 12 months. Like, stuff takes time. And look, there will be another hot topic that comes around, and sort of, you know, we haven't touched the surface of things like the metaverse and sort of various other things.
So
and
true.
I don't think we're ready to do so yet, which is fine. But, you know, at some point that will probably pick up and it will do its thing. But like right now, we're still on this wave of cookieless measurement, sustainability, and like we are solving that as an industry and we're doing a good job. But we also, we can't rush it, and history will repeat, like, will tell us that you know, the industry hasn't ever rushed these things, which is fine, but it's just the expectation and the sort of hype cycle that it occurs in and around those developments creates this sort of, you know, peak trough, and then we get to sort of a bit of a level set.
I mean, that feels like a really sort of solid sage advice way to end this discussion. Thank you so much for joining me today, Pete. It's been really good chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Brilliant. And thank you everyone for listening.